avvenimento o vedere se si sente da me. Today is the 5th of May, 2021, Thursday class. So we'll be continuing our sharing from this book, The Wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta. We are at page 242 of the hard copy. We finished the old section. Now we go on to the next session, which is the sutra part. Just relax body and mind, and we will have our usual half an hour awareness-based meditation. Okay, we are off the light so that you can proceed with the meditation. Always remember, we are here to train our mind to develop the inner awareness, to be silent, to be aware, and no need to do anything. Like the word awareness-based meditation, we are here to train ourselves to develop this awareness nature within, then stabilize it, to develop the meditation. So remember the four support. First support is relax body and mind, completely relax, and make yourself feel at ease, comfortable. At ease. So in Mandarin, it's called Fang Song. Fang Song means relax, be at ease. Then the second support is aware. Don't need to do anything. So relax, aware. Then continue to maintain awareness, the third support, to stabilize the awareness nature. The second support, aware, is very important. No need to know, no need to do anything. Yes, maintain awareness or aware and maintain the awareness within. Which means whatever arises, let it arise. Away, finish. Away, finish. Don't try to know. Don't try to follow. Don't try to create more thinking or more localization or allow the mundane mind or thinking mind to chatter within. If you continue to allow that, then you are not developing the training. Since the mind has its usual habitual tendency, which is heedless. It thinks a lot because of mental hindrance. It lacks spiritual faculties. So unless you develop your spiritual faculty and train your mind to have such ability to be aware most of the time within, you cannot be in the meditative state to meditate. So this training is very important. So relax, aware, maintain awareness. And finally, the last support is when you have the ability to develop that inner awareness, stabilize it, then you can do the fourth support, which is trust. This trust will come later. Trust here means trust your nature to meditate on its own without any interference from the thought process. Do not allow your views, opinion, and conditioning to disturb you, to cause any delusion in you. So trust means just trust the nature to meditate, means wherever your awareness is, let it move by itself. You just have to allow the awareness to be. Most of the time, you will be able to raise your awareness at the heart area. If you have done the training correctly, you will stay at the heart area. Yet the heart area is where the seat of consciousness is, where our karmic life force arise and pass away. And this is the one that sustains our heartbeat, maintain our inner activity and movement. So when you silence your mind, you are able to witness all this and develop understanding, clear understanding of who you are, what you are, and how you function as a human being. How during the daily life or during your meditative session, how the form and mind interact with the external sense data, and how it triggers the respective consciousness. Then when consciousness arises, what happens? Because you are aware, you can develop understanding. There is clarity. There is understanding. There is no thought interfering. So most of the time, you are aware and without thought. You will have the ability to be with your inner nature, which is your true mind, your silent mind, and that is your meditative mind. So the awareness-based meditation is very straightforward, very simple. Just relax, go ahead and maintain awareness for as long as you can until it stabilizes. Then allow the nature to meditate on its own. Trust. Okay. Okay, you can slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Yeah. Try to maintain whatever inner calmness, inner awareness, and inner mindfulness that you have developed within, yeah, for as long as you can. These are the mind state that you need to use to live your daily life, and at the same time, to transform it into an awareness base of heedful living. We call it the daily mindfulness training. Whatever you do, every action, every movement, every activity, be with the moment. Mindfulness of all action, all movement in the present moment. This is to ensure continuity of mindfulness. When you can do that, means you are ever mindful. The first aspect of heedfulness you already established. After that, use it to meditate, to cultivate noble eightfold path. This is a meditation that's done by the Buddha to develop wisdom, understanding. So that is basically what you need to do. Okay? Perhaps they are practicing giving. So giving is the English translation. It is supposed to be generosity. Means you develop the cultivation of, they call it dana. Dana is a parami, or a perfection, a wholesomeness. When you have generosity, means you are very generous. You have the wisdom and the understanding to understand that giving is a type of cultivation that will bring forth the way. Because from Dana Parami, you will receive a lot of wholesomeness, a lot of merits, and a lot of what they call Parami, generosity Parami. So there is a saying in the teaching actually, when you study the Buddha Dharma, it's always mentioned this nature's law that governs life and existence. We have what we call the law of karma, karma niyama. And this law is very unique, very powerful, but it's the most difficult to understand. Nature's law. The Buddha always share this understanding by only introducing certain aspect of this nature's law. He always said this law of karma is very unique. Because all living beings, we are all born of our karma, add to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. So this fundamental understanding is the beginning of cultivation. Aside from this understanding, he introduced the five daily contemplation, and at this, at the end, the fifth daily contemplation. Every day is it, a cultivator must contemplate this in the initial phase of the cultivation. When you contemplate and reflect on this, you will come to understand the great importance of this law of karma, because each and every one of us, we are born of it, air to it, conditioned and supported by it, and we are what we are because of karma. So what must we do? We must take care of karma, otherwise our life will be affected. We will become miserable. Yeah. Because whatever you do in life, your action, your speech, your thought process, they constitute karma. That's why the Buddha said, it is chetena that I call karma. Chetena means mental intention. If you intend negatively, wrongly, with the evil roots, then you condition negativity of karma. If you intend with righteousness, with virtue, with understanding, it will bring forth merits, wholesomeness, and parami. So when it comes to cultivation, we need to differentiate between the two. Like the Buddha said, this nature's law is very strange. We reap what we sow. And whatever you plant, you will reap accordingly. So when you cultivate virtue, wholesomeness, parami, indirectly you are reaping all this virtue, wholesomeness, and parami. Means what? For example, the Buddha said dana parami. This is most important of all the virtue. Without this dana or generosity parami, you will be very, very poor. You cannot have wealth, you cannot have anything. Because without dana, you reap what you sow. The more you give, the more you receive. When you give, you are actually giving to your karmic nature. And because you reap what you sow, this will come back to you. When you are kind to people, people will be kind to you. When you are generous, virtuous, kind, gentle, pleasant, respectful, with gratitude, with sincerity, trustworthiness, all this will bring forth the parami, so that you reap all this wholesomeness. Whatever you do will become your inheritance, where you are one of it, and to it, conditions for the being. Okay. So the advice of the Buddha, Dhammapada verse 183, come from this. If you want to take care of karma, you must follow the advice of the Buddha. The advice of the Buddha are very simple. There are only three. The Buddha said, Sabba papasa akaranam, kusalisa upasampadan, sacitta pariyutapanam, etang buddhana sasana. The first advice is sabbe papasa akaranam. Sabbe is all. Papasa is evil. Negativity. You have to avoid. So avoid all evil. Then kusala. Kusala is wholesomeness, goodness, kindness, all the virtue. So kusala, when you have kusala, means kusala upasampada. Wherever there is condition to cultivate wholesomeness, virtue, you must cultivate them. So avoiding all ill, cultivate wholesomeness and goodness and virtue is the second advice. And through this, you reap what you sow. When you avoid evil, means you are not capable of evil, you reap what you sow. So evil will not befall upon you, where you won't reap that type of karma. When you cultivate wholesomeness, you will reap the virtue of wholesomeness. That's why all this virtue or virtuous mind state that you have cultivated, you will reap them. People will be kind to you, generous to you, sincere to you. They will respect you. They will do all those things that you have done unto others and to nature. So this is how the advice of the Buddha come about. But the Buddha told him, even when you are able to avoid all evil, the good, that will only take care of your karma. Take care of karma doesn't mean you can actually have the perfect life. You may have some form of good life, because by taking care of karma, by avoiding all evil, doing good, you will reap all this good virtue and all the negativity will not befall you. But there is one aspect of the teaching, which is wisdom. That's why the third advice is purify your mind to develop the wisdom. Otherwise, when you go through life, you will face certain realities in life. Like the first noble truth, eight reality. When you confront them without wisdom, suffering will follow you. So good karma alone is not enough. You need to cultivate wisdom, purify your mind to cultivate wisdom, to complement your understanding part so that it will lead to complete understanding of life. And then you will be free, you will be protected, you will have the good life. So by following the advice of the Buddha, you walk the path of Dhamma, you will understand life, then you will be able to reap the fruition of your hard work, to live the noble life of an enlightened being, to experience the third phase of Dhamma, Pativida. So this is what the teaching is all about. So Dhanaparami is very important, and not only Dhanaparami, all the other parami, like patience, truthfulness, then renunciation, all the ten perfection, keeping of precepts to sila, developing the training of the mind, samadhi, and perfection of wisdom, prajna, paramita. So all these are very virtuous mind state that you can cultivate and perfect yourself. So what this sutta has stated here is the first parami of generosity or dana. And although the English translation Xianhua used the word giving, giving is not so precise. Giving is a very general word. Give what? Yeah. But when you say generosity, means you are a generous person. You're willing to share whatever you have through offering, through giving, through sharing. So generosity, parami, is very powerful. When you make offering to monks, to the Sangha, to the Tripa Cham, there is also a type of generosity, parami, a giving. But we call it offering. Then when we donate generously to help the poor, to help those who need help, to help the environment, to help society, to help the various type of community that needs help, especially during economic crisis, wartime, pandemic, or whatever calamity that may arise. Most of the time it's nature's disaster. And sometimes it's due to certain happening that resulted in suffering. And when it happened, people who are affected, they don't have the means to help themselves to come out of it. So society need to play their role. That's why we have corporate governance, and we have the social corporate responsibility, and we also have government doing all this to help out in whatever way that is possible. Then there are also NGO who also play their role. And some religious organization or people who have the conscience, the good mind states to help people, to help environment, society, to bring about a better planet for us to live in. So all this need generosity parami. Without generosity parami, you can't develop activity for all this to arise. So now we go back to the sutta. So perhaps they practice giving or dana parami. Here, Master Shenhua shared through the sutra, I say, we give of silver, gold, and corals of true pearls, and of many mother of pearl, carnelian, of vajra, and of other gems, of servant, and of carriages, jewels, hand-drawn carts, and palanquin. This refer to the time of the Buddha, the ancient day, because they don't have money. They trade in silver, gold, and all this gold jewelry. But nowadays it's different. We not only have money, but we also have a lot of new things that humanity has come discover through civilization's evolution and progress. So like now, modern amenity, they can mobilize, they can do it very fast. Especially country like China that has good government, very responsible type of government, they can mobilize very massive support for their people, for their country, for the environment, and many other things. And they have the economic wealth, the reserve to do all this. And they train people, the skill sets. And now the manufacturing has become so advanced. So even during flood or what, you can have all these temporary tents or temporary buildings set up very fast. And even the pandemic, the recent one, beds and all those things, mattresses, they are available very fast, very easily. Then utility and all those things, not like in the past, these are difficult to come by. So we read on. This they offer up with joy in dedication of the Buddha, to the Buddha, vowing to obtain the vehicle foremost in the triple gem, means the supreme vehicle of Buddhahood, the one which all the Buddha praises. There are bodhisattvas who give a jewel of jewel kush and four with rails and flower canopies, richly ornamented carriages. Again, are bodhisattva sins who give their flesh, hand and feet, means donation of organ, or give of life, like blood donation, etc., organ donation, who even give their wives and children at this one. Only the great beings can cultivate such parami, seeking for the utmost way. Means when they want to develop perfection of dana parami, they should be able to transcend all this. Means they can give things that normal people cannot give. Again, our bodhisattva sins whose head, eyes and bodies whole are offered up most joyfully, seeking the Buddha's wisdom. Then we read on. Question about the six perfection. The first one is giving, dana parami. Commentary. Perhaps they practice giving or dana parami, the first of the six perfection. What do they give? With silver, gold, and coral of true pearl, and of money. This money, is it money? The money pearl is also called the azure pearl. I think it's not money, it's a pearl. Mother of pearl, canalia. Mother of pearl is a precious substance, white in color. It appears to have cracks in it, but when you touch it, it's smooth. Carnelian is a red stone that looks as if it has blood in it. Of Vajra and the other gem, Vajra refers to diamond, of servant and of carriages. Perhaps they give their slave and servant, or their jewel hand-drawn cards and palanquin. Cards refer to hand-drawn cards such as the imperial chariot, which the ancient emperor used to ride on or ride in. Palanquins are sedan chairs which are carried on the shoulder. So these are ancient time, maybe thousands of years ago. These are referred to as priceless, very expensive or precious item that can be converted into maybe like nowadays our money like that. Why did they wish to give up such valuable things? Oh, I missed our one paragraph, sorry. This they give up with joy. They give up joy and delight, with joy and delight. They are unlike us. They give $5, $10, and $20 and think it's a big thing. The Bodhisattva give away the seven jewels, such priceless thing, and they did so happily in dedication to the Buddha way. They dedicate their key to attaining the Buddha way. So when it comes to dana parami, you must have the Dhamma understanding and the wisdom. Otherwise, that generosity heart cannot open up. Here you keep on holding on to it, thinking that these are very vital, useful, important, I must have it. But if you understand Buddha Dharma, everything is dependent, originating, condition, arising, cause of phenomenon, no reality. But because of this nature's law of karma, you reap what you sow, the more you give. You give to your nature, you will receive that. So they will continue to offer, to give. You have to give with understanding, wisdom. Then you are not being gullible. So this giving needs wisdom and special parami. Why did they wish to give up such valuable things? I gave away these expensive things, those things which are the hardest for me to give up. I give them happily in exchange for the realization of Buddhahood. See, this is the ultimate exchange in dedication to seeking the Buddha's way, the road to Buddhahood. Chenpo Bapao, vowing to attain the supreme vehicle. I wish to attain the Buddha vehicle, where it is foremost in the triple gem. In the desire rhyme, The form rhyme and the formless rhyme makes the 31 plenary existence. The one which all the Buddhas praise. After realizing Buddhahood, all the Buddha in the 10 directions praise it in exaltation. Maitreya Bodhisattva addressed Manjushri Bodhisattva saying, within the white hair mark emitted by the Buddha, the world honored one, I see that there are Bodhisattva who give a jewel coach of four and four. They have exquisitely beautiful. They have exquisitely beautiful carriage pulled by four horses. The carriages are adorned with gems, with veils and flower canopies. In the land of ultimate bliss, there are seven tiers of railing. The carriage top are made of flower, richly ornamented carriages adorned with beautiful things. Again, are Bodhisattva seen who give their flesh, hand, feet, who even give their wife and children. The commentary. Not only do Bodhisattva give valuable objects, but they can also give up their body, their own flesh, their hand, their feet, their organ, or their wife and their children to others. Would you say that such giving was practiced, seeing that which is hard to practice? Definitely. We give a little money or a small gift and feel extremely self-satisfied, even at times arrogant, and think that we have earned a great deal of merits. And yet here we see Bodhisattva who can, if someone else need them, just give away their body, their flesh and blood, their hands and feet. But you say, what use is there in giving away my body? If you give someone a body, they can't eat it. Why give it? When Bodhisattva practice the Bodhisattva way, they may enter or encounter someone who have a particular illness or need, perhaps a heart transplant such as those present-day doctors perform. Or perhaps they need a liver organ transplant, spleen, lung, or kidney, even eye. The doctor removes the sick organ and replaces it with a healthy one. The Bodhisattva, seeing such living being, will supply the needed organs. The Bodhisattva will sacrifice his very life for another living beings. Perhaps there is a living being who has injured his hand. Seeing this, the Bodhisattva will give his own hand to him. The same goes for the feet. Maybe someone was hurt in an auto accident. His bone smashed and his leg crippled. Seeing this, the Bodhisattva will give up his own feet to him. This is done in order to teach and transform living beings. The Bodhisattva who even gave their wives and children. We are not talking about Bodhisattva who have already attained supernatural or spiritual penetration. They are simply those who have brought F-O-R-T-H, the Bodhisattva vow resolve. They simply have heart full of giving. Why do they give? They give that which is most difficult for people to give, like their children, their spouse. To say nothing of giving up one's wife and or husband, most people find it extremely painful even to be separated from them for a short period of time. They find this extremely painful. However, this Bodhisattva, seeing that others need wife, will give their own wives away. There are many causes and conditions surrounding such giving. This part may be difficult to understand. As Shen was in my book, The Record of the Water and the Mirror, Turning Back Heaven, I wrote about the abbot of the monastery where I cultivated the venerable high elder master Chang An Renan. When he was cultivating the way, he gave away his wine. How did that happen? He had a wine, but when his father and mother died, he resolved to observe the practice of filial piety by sitting beside their grave for a period of 3 years. All he said, his wife was at home observing widowhood, and she didn't like it one bit. She had a living widow. Her husband hadn't died, but had gone off to observe filial piety. He did not return home. The living widow couldn't stand it, and she went to the gravesite and insisted that her husband return home for her. She went once, twice, tried, four, and even five times, but he wouldn't return home. His heart was sincere. He cultivated the way with a sincere heart. Now those who have sincere heart are born to encounter demon, it is said. When the way grows a foot, the demon grows taller by 10. When the way grows 10 feet, the demon sits right on your head. Because he was sincere and refused to return home, his wife thought of an ingenious plan so that he won't return home. I will just find some other man to spend my days with, she threatened. Pick up with some other man if you like, he said. I am through with household affairs. I have renounced everything. I have put everything down. I pay no attention to such matter whatsoever. If he hadn't truly been intent on cultivating the way, when his wife threatened to find another man, how could he have endured it? But he said, all right, fine, if you find a man you like, someone you think you love, then go with him. So, go with him, she said. Okay, I'm going to go looking. And when she went back and found herself a man, then she brought him with her to the graveyard and spoke to her husband, saying, if you do not return home with me now, I'm going to marry this man. What do you think? Someone without genuine samadhi power and a true mind of the way would have gone home, don't you think? But he didn't go. I'm going with you, she said. And off she went. She gave his wife away and didn't ask for so much as a cent in return. This is truly an example of bodhisattva giving their wife away, seeking the utmost way. Why do they do this? Because they seek the utmost way. Bodhisattva who seek the utmost way must be able to renounce that which is difficult to renounce. The harder it is for you to give up, the more meaningful you act. Your act of renunciation becomes. It then truly counts as seeing through it, breaking it open, giving it up, and winning your freedom. So this is the poetry of saying. You can't say I'm going to hold on to those things I can't part with, even if I could become a Buddha by giving them up. I still won't let go of the thing I love, or the people I love. If you think like this, it is because you don't place importance on the Buddha's way. If you saw the Buddha way as truly important, you would be able to put down absolutely everything. If the Buddha Dharma was of primary importance to you, you wouldn't become influenced by improper external circumstances. Okay, we will end here for the sutta, then I will continue a bit more. You see, this one is the sutta from Mayana, and the description is mainly the ancient way, the old way. and civilization was not so progressive. But within the Theravada Sutta, there are similar story or what we call sharing in the Theravada Sutta. One of the sharing is this Mahakasapa, how he actually also went through something quite similar, except the condition that arise also different. When he was young, he was born into a family which is very wealthy, very, very rich. Then the parents were very keen to get him married to somebody of equal standing, beauty, to continue family tree and all this thing. So what happened was, in the past, Mahakasapa and even later on the wife-to-be, she also have a very strange cultivation and understand. Actually, they were together before. But that line, because of the Buddha Sasana, Sakyamuni Buddha arising, they decide not to get married. But the parents want them to get married. Then after a lot of persuasion, he told the parents, he said, okay, I will get married, provided you can find me a lady of this. He drew them the poster. So the family went all over the place to search. It seems the wife to be is another part of the kingdom or city. She also refused to get married unless she meet up with the person she really meant to be. So through long period of search, they came upon this lady. And really it was similar to what was drawn on the painting. So the family was very happy. They got them married. But even though they got married, they never sleep together. They stay together, but they never sleep together. So they maintain their, I should say, Abrahmavicharya, means celibacy. They maintain it until their parent, Mahakasapa's parent, passed away. And very strange, upon the parent passing away, Mahakasapa and the wife declare to all the servants everything, they will give up the wealth and everything that they inherited, then distribute them among the servants who have served them and all things. Then they renounce the world and go separate way. Means Mahakasapa walk one direction, the wife walk one direction. But somehow they end up becoming the disciples of the Buddha. The wife also become a bhikkhuni when the bhikkhuni order was established. And that was how they actually end up. So in a way, it's parami of giving. And the other example that I can recall is Xuyin, Lao Hansan. Xuyin also have a very unique story. When he was young, he really wanted to become a monk. He ran away and wanted to renounce, but somehow was caught by the father. And he was forced to marry two beautiful ladies. And these two beautiful ladies really loved him. But he told them, I cannot marry you, but because of the father. So he also got married, but they never sleep together. But these two ladies were very good. They decided to help Master Xuyin, and they actually helped him all the way until the parent also died. Then they left the house of life and go on the journey for renunciation and other things. And the story was very touching and very beautiful. You can go and do some maybe Googling or research and read them. I actually saw it on the video, the life of Xu Yun. Xu Yun is a very famous Mahayana monk. He lived until the age of 120 years old. And he was born in the 18th century. And he lived until the 19th century. I think 1950 something or what. And he was instrumental to the revival of Buddhism in China. The establishment of... He rebuilt a lot of temples. Restored a lot of temples. But his life was starved. And he did a lot of things. So... He is a very virtuous monk. That's why all these cultivators and monks that have the panami, they are very different. They are very unique. And they come at time which people cannot understand. So don't worry about what you have heard or what. Because every of these great beings or bodhisattvas or even Sammasambuddha, they start with humble beginning. They are like normal people, illiterate, deluded, don't know anything. Then they start and they bump into problem, to difficulty. But later on, when they have the understanding, their resolve is very strong. Then they make vows, they make aspiration, they make affirmation, develop parami, perfection, and they transform. That's why all this cultivation take time. There's a reason why you need these three virtues, sincerity, faith, and perseverance, to break free and to have the ability to strive on with heedfulness, diligently, sincerely, truthfully, then persevere all the way. Okay? So now it's 9:29. We shall have 3 minutes of toilet break. And after that, we come back. Then we will continue with our second session, which is meditation, reporting, and sharing. I think today's session, Sister Alicia will share, because she came over, I think, yesterday with some Dhamma friends. And after the sharing, she did mention that they want her to share on the Thursday or Tuesday class so that people can listen. But yesterday's sharing was also very good. They recorded with a handphone, it's an audio recording. Hopefully after Chin Hao has edited it, you can listen to it. Because that day one was very beautiful, the sharing, especially the one on the Heart Sutta. Why the Heart Sutta say form is emptiness, emptiness is form. Form does not differ from emptiness. Emptiness does not differ from form. So that one, the sharing was very good. And we actually requested through the sharing, Kayamita to use their own understanding to explain this Heart Sutta, which is very profound and very difficult for people to understand. But Alicia managed to answer it. In her own way, which is very good. The only thing is there was not enough stability of wisdom and understanding to put it in the words and share it further. So I help her by explaining it again. I have actually explained that many times over the years in the retreat. But that day, I summarized it again, and this time it was very clear. The three level of understanding and seeing that you can use to explain clearly the Heart Sutta meaning. And the Heart Sutta is so true and so profound that every word that is written is so beautiful. And you can explain it, no problem. And it covers that three level of seeing, which is so beautiful. So we will now continue in the second session, which is meditation, reporting, and also Dhamma sharing. Yeah?
Good evening, Brother Teo, Mrs. Teo, and all Kayalamitas. Brother Teo, actually, 我要share的是我 last Monday 的一个 meditation experience.
Okay, good.
So actually, as usual, I have my morning sitting. 我早上起来的 morning sitting. So in the beginning, 还是有一点点 sankara 在, you know, 很多起来你就会有一点点。 But 它会 settle down 很快。 那个 breathing 就很细, then 好像没有 breathing 这样, and then heartbeat 都很细很细了, 现在。 Then after that, 这个是我出来之后, 我回去看, 这个大概维持了大概 20分钟左右。
Good enough.
Then after that, 它有一个, 好像 我不懂得怎样讲, 就它是好像一个 awareness 这样上去 到我的 right hand side of 我的 brain 这样, 就好像那个 machine 开动这样, like 一个 machine 这样慢慢转, 慢慢转出来, 然后我就 那个 aggregates of things 全部回来, 我去 我就知道这个 so called 这个 这个 有了 feeling 咯,
对对对，
这五蕴就回来了，这样子，对对对，
you become conscious again,
become conscious, 对对， 就是 become conscious again 这样子。 当我出来之后, 我去 reflect 回这个整个过程, 就是他就是 observe 到, 就是 How 你 manifest into 这个你的五蕴的超，
对，给你
understanding 是你怎样的 know the world 这样 like know,
对，就这样子，
maybe Brother 就可以 explain 一下 on 这个，
because for normal people they will not be able to understand all this, but this one you need to have the ability to develop the meditation until the awareness nature become very, very subtle, very still, until your awareness deepen, until you touch the true mind deeply, then you go beyond the conscious mind. Then the awareness has like penetrated into a, I won't call it a level or what, it's a transformed type of awareness that is very deep and very still. It's like it hasn't ceased, but it's still within, but you have actually went in and become very still. That's why for that to happen, the breathing of must become like very subtle, still, until like normal. The breathing also, the life force, everything. But that free mind that is aware has actually gone in deep, deep. Then you can stay there even for a few minutes. And for your case, 20 or minutes is very good. You can know the difference. It is something that is transforming and changing. And when it come out of that state, because that very transformation, that state is not really an experience. It's just the awareness moving through and shifting through that phases of refinement, or I call it refinement. Then when it come out, because the awareness is there, the nature is there, it hasn't come back to the superficial surface level of consciousness. That's why at that time, it is still that nature. That's why when it come out for your cases, the awareness like go up to the brain, and how the brain actually trigger off the aggregates of mind. What actually happened is, you see, when we talk about the mundane consciousness, we talk about the thought process with the aggregates of mind. So the aggregate of mind, there are, as we know, the Buddha has classified into four. One is consciousness, which is the last aggregate. When you become fully conscious, means the mind through the awareness has come out and become truly conscious. That's why I say you become conscious again. But before you become truly conscious, as this awareness needs to come out, you can sense that something is happening. But for your case, you are in a form of meditation. That's why it's different. What I went through last time was I was at a retreat. Then my mind was in that state, actually, for many days. I think at least 3 days or so. 3 or 4 days. Yeah, I settled down the first day. It was a 5-day retreat. Then, towards the end of the retreat, on the last day, after everything was over, I was still in that state, mindful, aware, deep. I don't want to talk. The nature very still. Then when I came down on the Sambhavsa, together with a group of people, the monk who led us, he was a Thai monk, then Kayamitas. That time was not my Kayamitas, it was general Kayamitas, Buddhist. We call it devotees. So we all pack our thing, then we mindfully aware move up in the to the bus. Then I happened to sit in front. I was throughout that retreat towards the end completely without words. I didn't talk, nothing. Just aware deep inside. Then when I was on the bus, the thing start. The bus driver was very good. He was driving down from Cameron Highland down. Then my nature is aware of the sense data coming in. And when it came in and imprinted upon my senses, I saw the whole dependent origination thing. How people mention about avijja paccaya sankhara, sankhara paccaya, but that link that happened inside is completely different. Avijja paccaya sankhara also got contact because the mind that has ignorance, wanting to know, wanting to experience, will think. When it thinks, it makes contact with the brain. That's why that contact, I know, ignorant contact will condition delusion and ignorant activity. So avijja paccaya sankhara, you will start to think sankhara activity. Then if there is avijja, ignorant, you will think deludedly, heedlessly. You will not have right thought, right speech, and right action, honestly. But at that time, I was fully aware and with numbers. That's why I can understand all this. The contact that is without avijja is different. So, pure mind contact gives rise to pure consciousness, pure thought process, or pure sankhara. So, no more avijja paccaya sankhara, is prajna paccaya sankhara, but pure sankhara. Means pure awareness with the pure understanding inside that. Then it saw the consciousness. That consciousness is without content. Like the Buddha said, in the seeing is only the seeing consciousness, no one to see. And very strange. The brain, with all the views, opinion, conditioning, belief system, does not have power over it. It cannot come in and interfere. It cannot cause the mind to stir or move. Nothing. It cannot. Then I realized, through the universal manaskara wisdom and understanding, the content of consciousness that goes is pure. Feeling is pure feeling. Perception is pure perception. Sankara activity, the mind state, are pure. The awareness, the calmness, the stillness, the tranquility, the joy, the peace, everything is still there. That's why even that pure consciousness, which is the vijnana, that pachyanama rupang, the content of consciousness was also pure, non-grasping. That's why it's so different. Then I start to sense that I will return to normal consciousness. Then the perception come in. The activity of mind slowly starts to move, starts to develop. Then it see clearly all this link. Yeah. Then how it condition the habitual tendency. But in that case, because of the wisdom, the habitual tendency cannot arise. A lot of things cannot arise. That's why after that, I think almost about 10 to 15 minutes after the bus moved down, then my awareness nature that is there slowly become conscious again. Then I return to normal conscious awareness within. Then that time, if I want to talk, I can talk. Then I can understand a lot of things. Yeah. Then I become very different after that day. Yeah. So that is how my nature went through. So for your case, Alicia, it's different because you come out of a formal meditation. You don't have the chance to see all this coming in, but also without the stability of it, maybe it will take a while. Yeah? So what happened is, when you saw like the awareness went up to the brain, that is good. Yeah, that is how it started, from the brain. Because without the brain, there is no thought process. That's why Krishnamurti knows thought is respond to memory. So from the memory, the perception come out. The feeling, emotion come out. Yeah. And you slowly, slowly become conscious again. Yeah. But this one is in the form of meditation. What you should do is after you come out of it, you maintain awareness and try to stabilize that understanding, that awareness nature. If possible, don't let it come out everything to normal consciousness so fast. Continue with the awareness until the mind really enters the deep. Then throughout the day, you're aware, mindful, stable. Then later on, you will understand what I mean. When you are driving, or sitting on a public transport or whatever, then you start to observe how the sense data come in and how they activate your aggregates and how the aggregates from pure become grasping. Not really grasping in the sense that the normal people that is heedless and deluded. Here, grasping means it wants to grasp your habitual tendency and all those things because of your conditioning and all this thing. But the universal manasakara and the wisdom that you have will come in and stop all those things or prevent all those movement. So this is the part later on. Hopefully you can gather that kind of experience to understand clearly. So what I share today is very useful for you, because you will be able to understand all this later on, much later on. Then you can integrate all this understanding into your cultivation. Then later on, you can stabilize all your understanding and the clarity of all this that other people cannot do on. Then from there, after that, when these things start to stabilize, then you can put them into words. Then you can share that. And the way you share the Dhamma will be very different after that. You will use your own words and all those things. It's totally not normal anymore. Not like the traditional. Then as you become more and more stable in your understanding and your contemplative wisdom will take off, then you will understand more and more. Then when you listen to my sharing, especially today, it will open up your understanding much, much further. Yeah. Because all these words that I use come from the understanding after that thing unfolds. And that thing happened in the year 1989. 89 means 99, 2009, 2019, 33 years already. So don't worry, take your time. And all this are possible. It can happen. So sadhu to you. So hopefully this one can help you develop further understanding. Alicia, yeah, you continue.
So actually after took experience, after what the dinner 之后，我有一个感觉，好像 you know like 你要回去房间静静的待着这样子。
Yeah. So
like you know you will just want to be silent.
Yeah. 自己一个人。 Right.
But then, 对。
At that time, your mind will be like that.
对。
你会好像不要讲话这样。
对。
That nature has become very different. Everything has become like very clear, very different. The awareness is just aware, that's it. Aware. Then whatever activity or movement inside there is from that stillness, from that silence, that understand. And the mind is very calm during that time. You will go through all those things. Sadhu.
So called 这些 experience, 当我们 go through 之后, 我们就会 develop 那些从来就没有 experience 过的东西,
对,
amazing 的 experience.
So 它就是一直给很多的
phenomena 给你去 understand 很多东西。 好像我那天 Monday before 我睡觉也是 suddenly 它好像一直冒汗 you know 好像一直就好像你 after exercise but 你又没有 exercise but 你的 一直冒汗 then 你的 mind 好像 start 有一点点 movement 这样 you know so I was aware of it and then 我就想到 那今天应该是 有一点点 you know 波浪这样子 然后我就开 Bradio 的 recording 来听 As 我听 Bradio 的 Dharma sharing 的时候 我是做我的 lying down 来听啦 Then 我就很 attentively 的去听 Bradio 讲的 Dharma Then 我就 feel 到 很快就进入很 silent
Yeah.
我觉得我的 heart area 那边哦 就是中间 那边好像 开始开掉 open up 这样子 Then slowly 它有一股 energy 就 flow 进去我的 You know 它就是很 soft 很 soft 这样子 flow 进去 So 我就在 contemplate 回为什么我当下听 Virgil 的 talk 的时候可以这样子一下就回去的 normal 就是 silent
地方，
我就在 contemplate 这，所以我想，因为其实这一切都不是 intrinsic 的嘛，它其实没有的。当有一个causes and conditions，
它才会现出来。
对，它现出来，然后你要怎样去怎样讲？就是你要去怎样either 你要 feed in 它 energy 个，还是你要怎样的去 handle 这个 situation？
对，
就是
你的 nature 会了解的，
对，
你的 nature will know how to do it. Because when it happens, you will know how to relax into it and just let it be. So what is more important is how this thing come about. Just now you mentioned about the causes and conditions. It's because your faith in what I share is very strong based on your transformation, your benefits that you have received and the progress and all those things. And that faith is very important. With that faith, you listen, you go do it very fast. Then your mind state transforms very fast. Then that recording that you listen to, that type of vibration is from that nature's vibration. That one will also help over and evil. And sometimes when you listen to all this, the higher beings, they also want to listen. They will also be there listening. So the collective consciousness, everything, it will help out. And sometimes you have affinity with the great beings. Their nature are also there. That's why your sincerity, your faith, and your diligence or perseverance, these are the factors that actually strengthen your cultivation and bring about such causes and conditions for it to have the ability to develop into such possibility. So that part I want to add in, so that you understand. Faith is very important. Without faith, without sincerity and perseverance, all this cannot happen. So when sadhā is there, your mind becomes different. Then because you already know how to meditate, you already know how to develop that inner nature, that's why when you listen, that faith will drive you and set the condition for it to happen. And the mind can become very quiet and very still, very fast. That's why when you know how to meditate already, you know how to arise the causes and condition for this to happen. And this will continue over a period. Then after that, when you have stabilized and developed the understanding, it evolves again. It becomes different again. So this is important, beautiful, subtle to you. So make a note, then you can understand.
Thank you, Brother Dio, for that one. Yesterday, Brother Dio, you mentioned 讲叫我们去 reflect 该怎样的去 develop 我们的 cultivation.
Yeah.
其实该我在翻妙法莲华经的前几页的时候，他说到当你要修道，就要把那个真心交出来。
Yeah, 对。
对 Brother Dio.
对。
So sincerity, 其实以前当我不知道很多东西的时候，我所知道的 sincerity 是很狭窄的。现在我知道这个 sincerity 可以包括很多很多的东西。太深，其实。其实这个佛法，对于我来讲，它实在太奥妙。该怎么走？其实我每一天都在想，就是在 reflect 说，只要我们很心切，就是说我们很真心的对待每一件事人物，然后去 积极的生活，因为只要你在积极的生活，就你就很认真的面对每一件事。
对对对对对。
然后哦，就是你的责任感呐、啊，比你的责任感呐、啊，还是你的什么、
嗯，
就是它慢慢的就会 develop 上来。
对对。
就那个 transformation actually 不然就actually 很 amazing， you know。
Yeah, yeah, it's very amazing、
啊。对，然后就刚才讲的那个所谓的。该不然就讲的 like 你的 pure perception or whatever， 就是他在和我很多东西哈，我遇到的一些所谓的事情哦，你会用很真思维的去一下，他就有一个真思维出来，
对 对, 对，
你就会被困在里面，哎，该怎么
解？啊，对，杀掉，嗯，
那个
是，嗯，那个是由你说嘛，那是个啦。That's why Yoniso Maniskara is a wisdom at the moment of sense contact or sense experience. Then it arises the right thought, the wholesome thought. That's why 正思维 is right thought, wholesome thought.、Yeah. So it starts from the Yoniso Maniskara first, the Dhamma understanding, the wisdom. Then from there, it straight away conditions the right thought, the right speech, right action, and the right way to live life.It's like everything you do become different. There is true understanding. And the mind has become like very truthful, very sincere. It realized no point. Why you want to deceive people? Why you want to take advantage of people? Why you want to lie? You cannot do already because it's not worth the thing. Then you will be true to yourself.True to nature, true to the environment, true to everything. You cannot buy it already. A lot of things you don't think for your own benefit anymore. It's no more the egoic mind reflecting, contemplating. It's that nature with the wisdom and the understanding lead. That's why it will have that understanding to live life sincerely, truthfully.Yeah. And it's not only true to yourself, true to others, true to the environment, to everything that you come to confront. That you understand, he know you, he know me. No mark of a self, no mark of others, no mark of Dhamma. It's only nature's law. That's why this form of mind is subject to karma, you know. And you just allow the form of mind to perform its duty. That's why the...Mental intention behind everything you do is based on wisdom, the Dhamma way. No more the selfish way, no more the views, opinion, conditioning and belief system. No more for me or not for me, no more. Everything is just the way it is, nature. Then it just manifests. Then you are not like,Oh, he's my good friend, that's why I must help him. That thing can never arise because the mind that understands is different. No condition, nothing happens. So you can be your own brother, sister, or sibling, or even parents. Or if there is no condition, there is no condition. But because of affinity, you may try to reflect, contemplate, and see how it can be done.But when you don't see any condition for it to happen, you will accept that situation. Then you will just smile and move on. You let things be. That's why sometimes my son, when he was young, he also can see where he was listening when he was really young. I talked to my father, I tried to explain to my father, where my father was scared I become monk.Then I try to explain to him that you don't have to worry about. But he is not listening because the fear of I becoming monk, renouncing was so strong in him. That my son, that time very young, he told me that he never mind, I'm no condition. See, and he was very young, he can understand all this. Then I just let things be and I said, yeah. But later on, many years later, there was joy becausehe finally knew I won't become a monk, I won't renounce, and I was living my life in a way that he was able to like rejoice and feel honored about. When he gave me a calendar that year, the new year when I went home, that Buddha on the calendar was so magnificent. They call it like magnanimous, the English word, I can't really. It was so radiant and beautiful. Then the moment I saw it, I rejoiced and I knew that is the time I can talk to him already. I can share with him already. That's how it happened. Because that was the joy he had. And he told me, I have nothing for you. I know you don't need anything from me. I only want to give you this calendar. And the calendar was a very big calendar. I think he must have got it from where he buy Chinese medicine from the wholesaler. I think they must have given him. Every year he received a lot of beautiful big calendars. And that one, the moment I opened it up, the very giant Buddha, Samasambuddha, with a radiant joy and a smile on that poster. Golden color. That's why my name is Harija. I say thank you so much. Then I knew that was the time to talk to him. And that time, it was the right age. So all this will fall into place. Before that, no matter what you do, no use, or no point. He don't have the condition to listen. So even though my father, what can I do? But my nature know, because I decide this line, my aspiration, the purest, to be their children this line. Well, this is the best way to repay them. If they have the true, sincere heart and nature, they will bring up their children in a very responsible way, and they will do their duty very well. So if they can be my parent for one life, all their future is set. Where my pure wish will go out, I will invoke power and merits of what they have done for me, my nature, this life, this segmented life. The causes and conditions for them to receive all this teaching, this understanding, and to have the good life. This is their karma. So may arise the causes and conditions for them to have this Dhamma understanding, this nature to live the good life, and may their pure and noble wishes come true as soon as possible. So all this is what has been said. So I don't have to worry whether my father, my mother, this life understand the Dhamma or not. So this is how great beings, Bodhisattva, repay people through their understanding of causes and conditions, vow, aspiration, pure vision, all these things. So these are very beautiful understanding that great beings only know how to apply them and help living beings. That's why they can transform living beings. They can take across living being. We are one, cultivating affinity. So even like this life, you may think if it comes to Kayamita, it's only a handful. But then because of my understanding of the non-humans and a lot that have affinity together with all those that end up like food for me to eat, the pure wish and the vow already there, this nature would to take them across when the time comes. And all this will manifest into reality in the future. That's why all this understanding is not easy to come by, but they are there in the teaching, in the Dhamma. That's why these are very beautiful understanding. Okay, Alicia, sadhu.
Sadhu, Bharat, you. Actually 是 对我而言 Bradio 的 teaching 是很 practical 的，就是它就是直接你学习了之后你就 apply 在你的 daily 里面，
对，
就是在 daily 里面你看到你所自己的贪嗔痴，就比如说一天我跟一个人 order 一些东西，
嗯，
self pick up， 然后就 self pick up 在哪样，我讲太远，
嗯，
然后他讲我拉拉 move 给你咯，然后我讲，那他说的他没有 charge 我那个 charges 你，
嗯嗯嗯，
我心里面就知道为什么他没有 charge，他肯定应该要自己付钱了嘛。
Yeah, yeah.
然后我这里面就哇咯咯咯，然后我就跟他讲，你 it's not fair you pay for me the transport， so 他就跟我说啊、are you sure you want to pay？ I said yes， I'd like to pay， so 就给了他，然后我就啊，我的心里面就很舒服。那在这个里面，你就可以看到我们心里面的 you know
不一样了哦。
因为你要很 truthful to yourself， 你不要被
you don't want to take advantage of people anymore， you will know how to respond。
嗯，因为
even when I do certain things like send my car for servicing or maybe sometimes you order something orYou try to get people to help you to do something and all those things. Then when it comes to payment, my nature is very different. I always try to remember what are the things that they have done, and I have to pay them and let them understand and remind them. And all these people who actually know me later on, they like me because they knowI am different. Like my aircon, the aircon guy, I got one regular aircon guy. I never bargain with him and I trust him and he very sincere. That's what I even tell him. I said, you came all the way, you do all this and you don't want to charge me. I say he hasn't completed the job. Well, he is like that. If he haven't completed the job, he will not charge.Then because of the pandemic, he keep on telling me, don't worry, Mr. Teo, is it? I will come, is it? But now, we are here, we're scared of his life that time. A lot of cases and all those things. So it take him later almost 6 to 7 months before he dare to come. Then when he come, I reminded him, I said, I still owe you the servicing. He said, yeah, he said,What I did was I just do the cleaning. I haven't done the chemical washing and the filtering and change and all those things. You see, that's why I want to do all those things, only I charge you. Then after the 6 or 7 months, in between, I reminded him 3 or 4 times. So he knew. That's why he came and he do for me. And actually, he wanted to retire. He said, he can't find worker, he can't find people to help him. So I said, it's okay, I wish you all the best if you want to retire, but if you decide to continue, you let me know, and I will continue to contact you. Then 2 days ago, and then my daughter's aircon suddenly not cold. Then I call him. Then surprisingly, he told me, he said, Mr. Teo, I will come over in 1 hour's time.And he turned up and he did a quick check and he located the problem. He just changed the capacitor. Then the aircon become cold again. It start running again. Then he told my daughter, he said, this is normal. He said, it's quite a common problem, but we don't know. So he just charges accordingly, which is very, very nominal. Because for people to come alone,the time and the transport, everything is not cheap nowadays. Normally, people, they charge you 80 ringgit for the visit. Then any parts and all those things that go wrong, they charge. But this time, he didn't. Then I got an electrician last time also very regular. So initially he charged me very cheap. Came all the way, fixed the light and all those things for me. Then only charged me about 60 ringgit or what. And spent almost half a day. I said, no. I said, I will pay you 150. And he was full of gratitude. And he said, thank you. Then after that, every time I call him, he will give it by audio, he will come. Then I try my very best to be fair to people. Then I will remind them, oh, have you take that charges into consideration? Sometimes I ask them to go and buy the part that you know where to source it. So they will go and buy. Sometimes the lighting, fan or whatever. Then other small items. So I say, you better include them all. Then after that, I think he know my style. And he also make sure that he charged me adequately so that I will not pay him more. So all this will be developed over time. We are people when they know you are sincere, you are true, and your character is very different. They like to work for me. They like to come and help me sort things out and all those things. So this is how the understanding will transform a person, and we behave in a very totally different way. And people who don't understand, they will look like, why this guy so stupid on? People charge like that, you pay lah. Why you so capable and pay people more? Because we have this art that cannot take advantage of people. We understand life are not easy. This type of people, they work very hard, and they are freelance without a permanent job. So they need support, and they are good. They are trained from rank and file. Then they come up. But this electrician, he also helped the wife. Very hardworking. Yeah. Wake up very early in the day, help the wife, I think, make the note, then they sell them. Then after that, when he has free time, he will go and do his freelance and all those things. I happened to get to know him through a friend who recommended. I also forgot which friend really. But it turned out this electrician is a very reliable guy, very good guy. So all this, you need to really have the understanding, the harmony, and that sincerity to go about living your life and doing things in a proper way. This is what Noble Eightfold Path is all about. And so I understand when you share how you feel when the Dalai Lama they decide to like send to you instead of you going to Selayang to collect them. That understanding will be there and say, why not you arrange a transfer and I pay? I will also do that. Normally, if I want the service pass or what, or otherwise, I will. They told me we can book on our side to collect there and deliver it over to us. Now, all this, I think e-wallet thing, they can be done. So we can try this thing out. So, Sadhu, Alicia.
Sadhu, brother, actually, 我自己也没有想到很多东西，那个就好像那个 right view 啊，哦 ，what 啊，
yeah.
以前我当初我起初每天都想把它背下来 ，you
know，Only one，Only one，Paramita，
我也想把它背下来 ，actually，背下来的不是那一回事，
不是 the real wisdom and that，if you try to live that way，no use 啊，you try to live that way，no use 啊。The understanding must dawn upon you, and then you naturally cannot do all those things already. Very strange. Then it will manifest on its own. That's why very strange. Sometimes you walk around or what, you see something on the road. If it's a potential hazard to other people, you will go and clear it. You will remove it. Where you don't want other people to like be affected by it. especially glasses and all those things that can cut people and all those things. I will go and remove it and clear it and put it into a waste paper basket or dispose it on. Yeah. Then the light bulb I change, I make sure I either dispose it to recycling or break them down or give to somebody trustworthy to actually dispose it off. Because there are poison thing inside the fluorescent tube and certain type of bulbs and all this thing. So that sensitivity will be there and we will not behave the selfish way, the heedless way like normal people. We cannot revert back to the old behaviors. That's why the sincerity is always there, the sacrifice can be there, and many things you do become different. Normal people cannot do. And you don't do because there is advantage or whatever. No. You understand the nature's law, the principle behind that everything is meant to be will be. It will go the way of nature. Everything will unfold based on this nature's law. So these are very good understanding, and when you share them, other people can benefit. Especially just now you mentioned, don't try to memorize things and go and live in accordance with that. No point. I mean, you can like want to remember the teaching, then reflect, contemplate, and apply the understanding to live life. But you must have the direct seeing, the awakening, the transformation. And realize without that, it's still knowledge. So it's still the thought behind wanting to be good, wanting to be sincere, wanting to have the faith. So that thing that drives all this is the thought. So the thought, which is egoic, will have craving, desire. That's why it's different. The true one is after you have the understanding, the transformation and awakening, then you naturally become like that. You don't try to behave like that. So that one is a very important understanding. So, Sadhu to you for bringing it up, for sharing.
Sadhu, brother, 我想 summarize 一下我的一点点的 understanding to
this.
就是法布离日常生活嘛，其实这个佛法就是离不开我们的每天的生活，就是柴米油盐啊，什么都是佛法，就是吃饭佛法，行住坐都是佛法。所以我们不需要再去哪里找了，就是在我们身边，然后 revert 我们的，就是回去观我们自己的心，然后就是很认真的面对生活，然后。真正的去体验这个生活，体验生活 in the sense that 就是你在什么样的情形，就是你要 accept whatever situation 咯，就是在的情况之下，
yeah, yeah.
你要怎样去演绎你的人生是你自己把握，
yeah, yeah.
就不再被那个舵一直在拉着你，一直牵着
你，对。是的，
嗯，怎样讲？受扣，我以前也经历过的，所以，然后你当你很认真的生活的时候，对我而言，每一件事情和每一个植物，还是每一样啊，动物、植物 ，I mean all beings 啊，都是很 precious 的，因为他们都有权利的去演绎他们的一。所谓的他也是可以活得很出色，
yeah, yeah.
所以
in fact all things they have their nature, not necessary beings, things, everything in that exists in this universe, they have their own pristine beauty and nature within. That's why you will see them clearly. They are just the way they are, and they have their natural pristine beauty, wonders. That they are part of nature, part of the universe, the finite formation, the causes and conditions that evolve. And everything is so beautiful. That's why life itself is the Dhamma. And like what you mentioned just now, the Dhamma is not apart from our daily living, daily life, daily experience, and daily activity. Every aspect of life is Dhamma. If you understand, cultivation is continuous, 24 hours, or at least during your waking moment. As long as you are heedful, mindful, and aware, you are cultivating all the time. Then you can be with the moment in all action, all activity. You are the cultivator all the while, all the time. That's why that word, the Mahayana saying that you mentioned is very good. Fofa, means the Dhamma. Puli, si chang, something like that, the daily life. It's not apart from your daily life and daily activity. So that one is very beautiful. Sadhu, very good summary.
Sadhu,
right? You say you need to have inner awareness to reflect, to contemplate, to understand, to observe all this movement and activity. That's how you insight in the phenomena and awaken. Sadhu.
Sadhu Brajil, and Brajil the guidance and Ganon, all the Kayamitas, especially Brother Song, all the songs and so you Kayamita, the sharing, especially coaching and then
let us rejoice with the good sharing. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.